to begin this solemn celebration in union with the whole church throughout the world. Christ entered in triumph into his own city to complete his work as our Messiah, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us remember with devotion this entry, which began his saving work, and follow him with a lively faith, united with him in his suffering on the cross. May we share his resurrection and new life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you bless these branches and make them holy. Today we joyfully acclaim Jesus our Messiah and King. May we reach one day the happiness of the new and everlasting Jerusalem by faithfully following him who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered him, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' Jesus said in reply, 'I tell you, if they kept silent, the stones will cry out.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us go forth in peace, praising Jesus our Messiah, as did the crowds who welcomed him to Jerusalem.
Children, may sweet hosannas ring. You are the
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, you have given the human race Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering, and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite our children who are here to come forward for their own presentation of the special message of this Sunday, the beginning of a most holy week, the remembering of all that Jesus did to save us, his most holy passion, his death and resurrection, which we enter into by our faith and prayers. May the Holy Spirit be with you in a special way as we begin a very special week. And may you open your heart to the love that Jesus shows you. May the Lord bless you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pluck my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Divided them for all rule. has not. O Lord, do not leave me alone. My strength, make haste to help me. My God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the hour came, he took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves Who among them would do such a deed? Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers."
He said to him,
"Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you."
But he replied,
"I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me."
He said to them,
"When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?"
They replied,
"No, nothing."
He said to them,
"But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, saying, 'He was counted among the wicked.' And indeed, what is written about me is coming to fulfillment."
Then they said,
"Lord, look, there are two swords here."
But he replied,
"It is enough."
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not undergo the test."
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
"Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done."
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test."
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
"Lord, shall we strike with a sword?"
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop! No more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day, I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered,
"My friend, I am not."
About an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he is also a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
And they reviled him in saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then he said,
"What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Messiah, a king."
Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to here."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Even Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, they sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him.
But altogether they shouted out,
"Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!"
Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Messiah of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out,
"If you are a king of Jews, save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Why do we read this year after year? Because we delight in tales of torture and pain? Some might think so, but certainly not. We don't read it just because it's nostalgia, because we remember times in the past and how we felt when we heard these words. We don't read it because this is just some cultural fable, some made-up story of our people, like Cinderella or Tales of a Superhero. We read this because this happened. Because if we would have been in a certain city 2,000 years ago, we too would have been hearing the crowds cry, "Hosanna," because we would have seen the colt. Because days later, we might have been at the supper. We might have seen the man, crowned with thorns, carrying the cross through the city. These are the most important things that have ever happened on earth. That's why we recall them again and again. And not only is this an historical event, this is ongoing history. It's not like D-Day, a true historical event. But this one we enter into now, it's present for us through faith in a way that other historical events can never be. These truths are ongoing in our lives. At the very least, the actions of Jesus show us that the suffering and the trials in our lives are not accidental. The grief, the pain, the loss, the disappointment, even the grief and sorrow of sin, it's not accidental, it's not meaningless, it's not random, but has meaning and purpose. If we see it with eyes of faith, if we see the events of our lives and our eyes are on Christ and our hearts are open to his purpose, then we journey. We truly journey in these days with Jesus. And this is an ongoing act of history, because this love that we see, and make no doubt about it, it was love that had Jesus do all he did, which he could have stopped at any moment. This love is not just something that is 2,000 years old. It is not diminished. It is not diminished for you today. This love is why we're here. It's at work in our lives. If we have the eyes and the heart to see, when we pray, we enter into the ongoing making present of these very truths. We mark the beginning of Lent with ashes. Who had ashes on Ash Wednesday? Many of us. It is a testimony that Catholics can come to church even when they don't have to. But we mark the beginning of this season with this sign. It's a special season of repentance and prayer. We mark the beginning of Holy Week with palms. Who has some palms? Lift them up. Got some palms in the pews? You'll be taking some home. We mark the beginning of Holy Week with palms. Palms that remind us that we too shout Hosanna to the Messiah, that we too recognize the true King, that our hearts too delight in his presence. The Psalms that remind us too of what will soon happen to this great King that we love. Poems that remind us of how quickly we too change our words of acclaim with deliberate acts of sin. As we marked ourselves with ashes on that first Wednesday, remember that you are dust, and into dust you shall return. We should mark ourselves with these definitive acts of our salvation. We know that every Mass is a celebration of the Last Supper. We know that every Mass is a celebration of Good Friday. We know that every day is a celebration of the resurrection. We wouldn't be here otherwise. But every day is a celebration of your birth. But your birthday is a special day. So it is with this week. In a special way, we remember what Christ has done. On Holy Thursday, we especially remember that not only did Christ give us heavenly food, but it was his very self with which he feeds us. And on Good Friday, this most solemn of days, our hearts must be grabbed with sorrow at what was necessary for our sin. And then, out of the darkness of the Easter Vigil, out of the darkness that reminds us of our true destiny, out of the darkness that reminds us that Satan gave Jesus his best shot, we remember that Jesus shattered the power of the devil and defeated death. And in that, we have eternal hope. With some exception, Catholics are good at coming to what's required, not as good as we should be. We're not as good at coming to what not is required. But if we want to mark our lives with these events, come not because it's required, but because of love. Remember this most holy Thursday. Come to church. I know we broadcast it. Broadcasting it is not for the physically able. It's not for your convenience to stay at home. If I could, I'd just do something technical where only the disabled could see. This isn't about convenience. It's about love. It's about joining with the people of God at these special times. These events are real. They're not only real in actual history, they're real now for us to enter into, for us to touch, for us to be changed by. All the time, but in a special way this week. Be marked by these mysteries. Be marked by these holy days. Be proud of the faith that saves you. Seek with all your heart to enter into them more deeply.